Hello, my name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us, watching us. We've got several different venues that you can get us on. We're on YouTube, Facebook, radio station, and podcast. You can search all those Word is Alive Ministries and get that. This morning we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes means a preacher. And this Solomon, he's writing some things that toward the end of his life, things that he has observed, things that he knows, things that God has let him know. And he imparts these to us, and we need to know them. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll do 13 and 14. It said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." All right, so he's gone through all these things. He talks about in this too that you're supposed to keep God in your heart in your youth, not just in those days that you get so old that you're not tempted anymore, that you know all you can do is sit around, but you need to serve him while you're in your youth and continue to do that throughout your life. Now, most people try to do this just the opposite. They say, well, when I get done with all my living, when I get done with everything that I need to do, when I get done with what I see as my life, then I'll serve God. And I see this in churches. You know, I've gone to churches and you'll see somebody and the way they act, you think, oh, they've been in church all their life. They've been serving God. And then you find out that they just started coming back to church. They might have gone when they were kids, but they started back to church because they got old and they want their ticket to heaven. And that's a sad statement, but I have seen that so many times that people basically, they just want to get their ticket to heaven. They're trying to get their ticket punched. They've got old. They can't really do anything else. They can't go clubbing, and they can't do all those things. So they come back to church. Well, Solomon is saying, don't do that. And so he gets to the end of this book, and these are the last two verses of this book. And so he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's going to summarize here. He's talked about all these things. He's imparted all this knowledge about how we're supposed to serve God, and he gets to the end of it, you know, and before this he said that everything's really vanity and it's vexation of spirit and there's nothing new under the sun. That comes from Solomon, and we hear these things, and we say, what is he talking about? And he said, people are people, basically. All the things that are done have already been done by someone else. You look at it, we see all these things, especially in our lives, and we've got so much information. We can know what's going on around the world in a particular city. You know, we get these reports about what people are doing, and somehow we tend to think, well, you know, it's worse. You know, nobody has ever done it this way. You know, Jesus said himself that before he comes back, it's going to get as in the days of Noah. And if you look at that, they were just living life. But their hearts and their minds, everything was evil continually. And that evil doesn't mean that they were pulling legs off of insects or stuff. That just means that they were not paying attention to God. They were doing their own thing. They were going about their own lives and not paying attention to God and not serving him. And so Solomon says this thing. So he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, what whole matter? Life. Life. I remember when I was a kid, you know, growing up in the 70s, there was all kinds of things. There was usually a cartoon and somebody going up to the mountaintop to see a guru to find out what is the meaning of life. And people want to do that. You know, what does it all mean? You know, especially when they made some accomplishments and they're looking at it and going, well, I don't know what is it, what it's all about, you know. And so he's going to tell us this, the conclusion of the whole matter, the conclusion of what life really means, what it's really about. And, you know, hopefully, and he talks about this, that as you age, you get wisdom. But, you know, that's not necessarily the truth. Just because you age, you get wisdom. We see a lot of people that have gone through age, and they've got some chronological years on them, but they really don't have any wisdom. They've not sought after, they've not tried, you know. And you see some people that are maybe a little bit younger, and they do have some. But hopefully those years will give you wisdom because you've gone through some things. You've experienced them, and Solomon had. You know what has happened. You know how it went. You know what the people did in those instances. And so you kind of use that to gauge the things that are going on around you. You know, it's just like if you're driving down the road and you for the first time you feel your vehicle kind of shake, you know, you don't, what is going on? And then you get out and you've got a flat tire. You go, oh, okay. Well, the next time that happens, you go, I'm getting a flat tire. I better pull over. You understand that. You've experienced it. So you say, okay, based upon what I've already gone through, I know this is happening. I know this is how it's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. So in our life, we should be doing that. We should be doing it. So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he says, fear God. Fear God. What is this? If we see Psalm 111 and 10, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. All right. So the fear of the Lord, and he said to fear God. What is this? Is this a fear so that we're cowering, that we're afraid of what God is going to do to us? No, this is a fear of reverence, of knowing God is capable of all, that he is the director of all, that he controls the universe. He keeps everything in place. You know, the planets move. You know, we've studied them and we see these things, you know, and we call this force gravity that causes all things to go here, but keeps everything together. We don't know what it really is. We can measure. We know what it is. It's, you know, if you drop something in a vacuum, it's going to fall at 9.8 meters per second squared. We know that. Whether it's feather or steel ball, you know, we can do experiments with that. But yet we still, what is that? But God created it, and it does hold all things in place. You know, so this is the fear of God, that we know that he's keeping the earth spinning. So when we sleep during the dark, we know that it's going to be light in the morning because it's still spinning, you know, and the sun is in place and it's still burning. And, you know, and they, scientists have been for years, it's going to burn out. You know, I was told that, you know, it was in the 70s when I was growing up, there was going to be another ice age. And it was in the magazines, and I was scared to death, you know, that things that were going to happen. And they told us polar bears were going to migrate down and we're going to eat people. And so I was in terrible fear of what was going to happen, you know, and those types of things that they said were going to happen. You know, the sun was going to dim and all of these things were going to happen. And yet now here we are, we've gone through, it was going to be an ice age, to it was going to be global warming, to that didn't happen, so now it's climate change. You know, people want to say, well, we are in control. This humanistic thing and teaching is, well, mankind controls everything. Well, that's not the case. God does. And so we have that fear, that awesomeness of him, that we can go at him, but yet he has provided a way that we can approach him. You know, when Christ came here, he created that avenue so that we could approach God, so that we could be with him, because that's what he wants. He wants us to return to him. So the fear of God, the conclusion of the whole matter, number one, we fear God. And we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What did Solomon have? Solomon had wisdom. That's what he asked for. He asked for, you know, what do you want? I want wisdom. Wisdom. You know, that's not just intelligence, it's intelligence with smarts, we would call it. You know, the ability to understand things, to read things, to reason things out. And so when we fear God, it's going to be good for us. When we reverence God, it's the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom. So we need to have that fear of God. You know, that's why I think it just bothers me so bad when I see people that, you know, refer to God as the old man upstairs, or, you know, the big guy. You know, no, we don't do that. You know, we give reverential titles to our people here that we respect, our fathers, our uncles and aunts and people like that. We give reverential titles to them when we approach them in a way. You know, I would have never gone up to my grandparents and said anything disrespectful to them. Even if I disagreed with them, I wouldn't do that, because I had respect for them, you know, and I would, you know, approach it in a way that I would say, you know, maybe we could try this or something. So we do that with people. Why do we denigrate God to the point where we think that we can say things like that about him? That's a lack of fear, lack of respect. And honestly, it's a lack of acknowledgement of his existence, actually. And we think that we can just say things and it doesn't mean anything. You know, we kind of feel like this. So the fear of the Lord. So the conclusion of the whole matter in life, number one, fear God. Number two, and keep his commandments. Again, back to Psalms, it said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. That do his commandments. A good understanding have they. Those that keep God's commandments have an understanding of God. They have an understanding of that those things that go on around them. They have an understanding of the world that other people don't have. They have that understanding. What does this all mean? You know, well, we can understand it through God. There are things that we can't explain, that we have to accept, and we can accept them because we believe in God. We know that he's got this, that he puts all these things in place. You know, I truly believe in the Trinity, and I read something by Spurgeon the other day that says he couldn't understand it, and I agree with him. And I've had people tell me, oh, yes, I understand it. Well, your God's not a very awesome God if you can understand all those things about him. I don't truly understand it. I know it's in the Bible, but to just grasp it and say, yes, I know this, you know, and I've had all these explanations to me, you know, cherry pie, eggs, and all this. Well, that just lowers God. No. How can there be three in one? It's tough to understand, but Jesus said that. Jesus is God. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. Yet he prayed to the Father. Yet he told his disciples that he was going to send another comforter, which is himself as well. So he's that mighty God that can do that and explain those things, and still it just boggles my mind. But when I look at his commandments and I can keep those, that gives me an understanding of all things, to know that those things are awesome. They're what we call supernatural. They don't happen in just what we call the natural world that we would see out there. It's like, wow, this is phenomenal. And that's what God is. So we fear God. We keep his commandments. It gives us understanding. It gives us a perspective on the world that no one else can really have without him. If we fear him, we respect him, we keep his commandments, we follow after him, it's an ordered system. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like things that are out of order, that are chaotic. And so many people live their lives that way. They're chaotic. They have no order. They have no way to ground themselves, to have an anchor, to all of these things that you want to say, but they're all in God. And putting your faith in him and knowing, hey, Lord, there are things I absolutely cannot control. You know, so many people try to control things, and then they try to do things in their mind and their body, taking drugs and doing other things in order to manipulate that feeling in their head so that they can look at it. Keep his commandments. Follow after him. And know that all along the way he's got it. Even though we don't see that, we have it. You know, you drive down a road and there may be many branches off of it, but you stay on that road even though maybe you're encountering some things, but you know that's the way to go. Because if you get off on these other branches, these other little inlets, you don't know what's there. You don't know where it's going to take you. You know, when GPSs came out, you know, it was just wild. Sometimes they would take you down places and you'd like, where am I? I went to see my son in Kentucky one time, and it was the first time I had gone over there, and it took me down a little path, you know, and it was just like, it was narrowed and the trees were there, and it was just for one vehicle. And I thought, what is this? You know, later I found out that I shouldn't have taken that. You know, there was a main highway that went, but it took me down a way that started giving me a little grief there. I was thinking, what is going on? What is going to happen here? So if we keep his commandments, he's going to keep us on the right path. He's going to take us in the way that we should, and we're not going to vary from that because he's there. He gives us that. So we fear God. We keep his commandments. We understand that he is God and we are not. You know, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 tells us that, you know, that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And I, for one, am so glad of that. I am so glad that there are things that I don't completely understand with God, but that I can lay that upon Him. I can lay my understanding upon Him and go, oh, it's okay. You know, when I was young, my parents would tell me sometimes about things or to do things, and, you know, why should I do that? And they, because I said so, you know, they knew that I really couldn't understand, even if they explained that to me. And I was the same way. There were times I couldn't actually explain it to a kid where they would understand it because they weren't to the point where they could. Just look, I'm telling you this for your betterment. So God's commandments do that. So we can rely upon Him, we can look to Him, we can trust Him, and know that every single thing He does is for us. Every single thing. Every single thing He does is for us. He loves us. Jesus told Nicodemus, He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die on a cross. That if you believe in Him, you won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. That's just a paraphrased version of it, of John 3:16, but that's what He said. He said, look, understand this. Put your faith in this. Don't look to other things. Look to this. So, fear God. Keep His commandments. And He says, this is the whole duty of man. What is duty? What you should do. What you have placed before you. When I was in the military, we had a duty, and we would do that. That's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to accomplish that. Well, what do we have to accomplish? What have we been given? Well, the Bible tells us here that our whole duty is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Well, what does that tell us? Well, if we do that, then we're on the right track. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And He's going to take care of the rest, that we can lay that upon Him and realize that, hey, these other things are going to take place. You know, sometimes that may lead us into ministry. That may lead us into foreign countries. That may lead us into places that other people are not going. But still, that's our duty, that we're following after Him. We're keeping His commandments. He told us to go into all the world. Well, some people are going to go further in this world than others to spread that gospel, because that's what He wants them to do. Some people are going to go next door in this world to spread the gospel, because that's what He wants them to do. Some people are going to teach Sunday school class. Some people are going to have food drives and tell people about Jesus that way. So doing all of this, fearing God and keeping His commandments, that's our duty. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the whole responsibility of man, is what He's saying. He doesn't say that's part of it. He said that's our responsibility. That's the meaning of life. So all these guys that were, you know, going up in these cartoons to these gurus, you know, what is the meaning of life? Well, here it is. This is it. This is the conclusion of the matter, the conclusion of all things about what it is. And He said, this is it. This is the whole duty of man. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. After all this that He said, He's summing it up. This is what we're supposed to do. If we'll just do this, but so many of us, and I included, have trouble doing it. Why? Because we've got a built-in nature something there that wants to do their own thing and rebel and say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this and that. And we do it, and it falls short, or it leads us into a place, and you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? How in the world did I get here? Paul had the same problem. He said, you know, he knew the wrong thing, and he ended up doing that. He knew the right thing, and somehow he didn't do it. So it's a human thing. But we need to remind ourselves every single day as we think about these things, what decision am I going to make? Take it to the Lord. You know, am I following Him? Am I fearing Him? Am I keeping His commandments? If I'm doing this, am I respecting God? If I do this, am I keeping His commandments? And these are the things that we need to do, that we have to look out and gauge it each and every time and say, where am I? Where am I? It's not easy to do, and it takes a conscious effort that we got to do it. It's just like, you know, brushing your teeth at times. You know, you've got to make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to do that. And the more you do it, the more of a habit it becomes, and you just keep on doing these things. So this is our whole duty. And then verse 14, very last verse in this book, said, for God. So based upon the verse ahead of that, and I'm so glad that people, you know, separate these out into chapters and verse so that we can talk about them. we can read them and we can know we're both talking about the same thing. So based upon the previous statement of the conclusion of the whole matter and the whole duty of man and what that is, fearing God and keep his commandments, he says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Now if we go back to Hebrews 9:27, it said, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, this theme is throughout the Bible. This is the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament is still the Word of God. But we look at Hebrews, and it's reiterated the same thing. It said, God shall bring every work into judgment. What is work? Everything we do, our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our words, or our works. Some people can destroy other people with their words. They don't have to physically hit them. Some people do that. Some people do both. We see children and adults alike that are physically and verbally, mentally, emotionally abused. So a work doesn't have to be something physical that you do. It can be something that you put upon someone. So our works will be brought into judgment. Hebrews tells us this. It's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. Then it'll either be life or death after that. You can't cheat death, but it can be defeated through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. You can't cheat it. You can't cheat it. But you don't have to die twice. We're going to die the physical death, but we can live the eternal life. But only through Jesus Christ. Only through His. It said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That's what it is. So we see this, and it says, works unto judgment. It said, with every secret thing. So not just the stuff that everyone knows about us, but the secret stuff as well. That's pretty tough when you think about it. I mean, I think about it and I go, wait a minute, that's pretty tough. That's a pretty tough thing. He said, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If we look in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, this is Christians. These are people that believe on Jesus. This is the judgment seat of Christ. The ones that did not put their faith in Jesus Christ will appear before the great white throne as it's laid out in Revelation. But all of us are going to see a judgment. And all of our works are going to be laid bare. We're going to be judged for what we've done, both good and bad. You know, I'm kind of like one of my professors one time. He said, you know, I thought this was a cool thing. You know, well, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it until you really read what it says. And it says our works, those things that we've done, whether good or bad. You know, I know my good and my bad. If I took a notebook and put a line down the middle and started putting good and bad, I can come up with a lot of things that other people wouldn't be able to come up with because I know my secret things. And so does God, and that's what it says. He knows those secret things. He knows those things that nobody else knows about you. He knows those things that you do in private. He knows those things that you think about that no one really knows that you think about, both good and bad. So we have these things. He said, he's going to lay these things out for God shall bring these. It's not going to be us. It's not going to be your pastor that's going to stand up and go, hey, now, you just what do you want me to tell you that I know about them? I've told my congregation, none of you want me to start talking because I end up knowing a lot of things about people that other people don't know. And that's a great responsibility that you must keep to yourself as a pastor. But I bear that out because I want them to know that God knows even more. God knows those things that I would never know. God knows those things that no one would ever tell anyone else or share with anyone else. You know, they wouldn't share their deepest thoughts and those things that they think about and do, but God knows them. So how do we take care of this? Well, number one, we get a relationship with Jesus Christ. We take it all to Him. We say, Lord, I want you to have my life. This is the way that we fear God because He's the one that laid this plan down. He said the plan of salvation was laid down before the foundations of the earth. That's another thing I don't understand. Why would He have a plan of salvation before He ever created anything? because he's God. I don't have to understand it. I just have to know it. So first of all, we do the will of God by accepting his son Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in human form that came down for us, that became the second Adam, that became a sinless man and died on the cross with our sin, defeated it, and defeated death. He did both. He defeated sin. He defeated death so that we could have eternal life. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has said it himself in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. So if we fear God, we're going to accept his gift. We're going to know that we can't do it ourselves. We're going to accept that free gift of salvation that's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only gift that's really worth having is that. We see, excuse me, everything in our world today is increasing in price. It's hard to buy things. I mean, and some are saying, well, this is it. You know, we see that in the Bible it talks about how much a loaf of bread is going to cost and these things, you know, and we see that the price of all kinds of things going up, you know. I don't know if this is it or not. I think it's just a precursor, but it's getting there. It's been getting there for a long time. You know, it's not going to be just a great drop off. It's going to be getting there. But salvation is still free. Salvation is a gift. It's free to us. It wasn't free to God. Paid the penalty with Jesus' death. That sacrifice that was made. So we have that, the gift of God. So if we fear God, we're going to accept his free gift. We're going to say, yes, Lord, you are higher than me. I am lower than you. Everyone else, we're all on a playing field. Because we all sin, we come short of the glory of God. I want to accept your free gift of eternal life. So we'll fear God enough to accept that free gift. And then after that, we keep his commandments. We go to his book, and we see those things. And then when we fall short, we go to him and we repent. And say, Lord, I messed up. I didn't do this. I wasn't following you the way I should. Because we know that there is a judgment coming. You need to be on the good side of this. The wages of that sin and death, gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that means you know that Jesus is God, that he paid that sin debt for you, and you believe in your heart that he is alive, that you can talk to him today, said you shall be saved. Shall. Not you might, could. You will, because he's already paid for it. It's that free gift. It tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's wanting you. He's wanting you to have eternal life. He's wanting you to do those things, to complete your whole duty in this life, to fear God, to keep his commandments, and know that there is a judgment coming. Folks, there is a judgment. And you say, well, I'll just wait until I've got time. You don't know what time you have. You don't know that you've got another second. You don't know that you've got another blink of your eyes. We don't know that. None of us do. We need to accept that right now. Solomon talks about this, that to follow him in your youth, not just when you get old and you can no longer be tempted because your body won't respond to anything. Don't think, oh, well, I'll do that then. You may get the opportunity. I'm not saying you won't. You say, oh, well, so-and-so did. Well, they did. What about you? A lot of other people didn't get that opportunity because they put it off and death came. We cannot cheat death, but we can see it defeated through the blood of Jesus Christ and only through him. Hebrews talks and says, not the blood of goats or of bulls, but his own precious blood. That's what Peter called it, precious blood. precious blood of Jesus Christ. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ this morning? I hope that you will. I hope that you'll do it right now and say, Lord, I want to accept that free gift. And then afterward, you'll seek His commandments and do His commandments, one of which is going to a Bible-believing church and getting with some Bible-believing people, learning more about Him. Well, thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries.